Hey there, you've tuned into Thrive's Podcast, a student ministry part of Victory Family Church located in Cranberry Township, PA. You can check us out every Saturday night at 6, or if you missed everything I just said, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Thrive at Victory.
And I've been doing this for about 3 years now. It's hard to believe I'm going on 3 years. I was with our young adult ministry for a little bit, and then I got transitioned over to our high school as well. So it's such a pleasure being able to come and hang out with you guys every single Saturday night. And the thing is, man, we got some big plans coming in the fall. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in the weeks to come. But we have some big plans. We had a meeting last night with our small group leaders. And it's going to be amazing to see what God is going to do this fall in your life and in our small group leaders' life. It's going to be incredible. And I can't wait to talk to you guys a little bit more in the weeks to come. But how many of you guys are going to Jack Camp? Woo! All right. How many of y'all are going to Jack Camp? Let me see your hands. Woo! Come on. Jack is literally 2 weeks away. And if you haven't signed up yet, you can go to our Instagram account. We have a link in our Instagram account. You can sign up through there, or you can go to mybfc.info and sign up through there as well. It's going to be an awesome time. We have about, I think, 100 of you guys coming already. We're believing that, man, we're going to see 140 of you guys coming because, man, it's a time and a place where we get rid of the world and we focus our time on Jesus. And Jesus is what changes us. It's the encounter with the Holy Spirit that changes us. And that's why I really wanted to encourage you guys through worship, because one of the things that our ministry is going to be known for is worship. We're going to have a culture of worship, and we're going to actually be going back into worship here after my message. But man, we believe that God inhabits the praises of his people. Can I get an amen? Amen? God inhabits the praises of his people. And when we have an expectation is an invitation for the Holy Spirit to come do something supernatural in our lives. And guess what, y'all? I'm a pastor, okay? And I need Jesus to do some supernatural things in my life because I'm still human as well. I still have flaws and insecurities and weaknesses and sin that I need Jesus to come in and to heal my heart and to show me what it looks like to live for him and to become like him every single day. So that's what happens when we go into worship. It's a vulnerable state for us as humanity to say, God, we need you. We need to depend on you. We need to depend on your grace. We need your love. We need your mercy. We need your kindness, and we need your truth. So that's why we do. If you guys don't know why we worship and we raise our hands and some of us kneel on the ground, it's a vulnerable state. Say, Jesus, Holy Spirit, I'm desperate for you. I need an encounter with you. And I need an encounter with Jesus every single day. But tonight I want to start a series of talks titled, There Is More. And I need you to turn to your neighbor if you're sitting by somebody and say, there is more. Now turn to the other neighbor and say, no, 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 you don't get it. There is more. In this series, we're going to be specifically talking about the Holy Spirit. And what I found to be true is there's three categories people usually put the Holy Spirit in when it comes to having a relationship with him. The first category is this. Many people have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. And what does that look like? You're thinking, like, the Holy Spirit, like, I can't see him. I can't maybe feel him. How do I have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit? Well, there's five things that I like to do daily. And I don't, obviously, sometimes I don't get to do them daily. But there's five things that I do to have an encounter and to spend time with the Holy Spirit. The number one is to be in his presence. It's to be still and know that he is God. It's to sit down and say, you know what, I got my phone in my pocket. Let me put it aside. Let me just be in his presence. The second thing that I do is I spend time in his word. I read his word. The third thing is I meditate on his word. The fourth thing is I pray. And then the last thing is I act on God's word. See, that's how we have intimacy with the Holy Spirit. It's doing those five things and allowing him to reveal himself in his word and us acting and praying and meditating. So people have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. The second thing relationally is people don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And what I mean by that is they literally don't have any idea of who the Holy Spirit is. Okay, I understand God the Father, God the Son. Who is this God the Holy Spirit guy? And they don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And then lastly, the third category relationally is people who resist the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of good reasons why people resist the Holy Spirit. And that was me majority of my life. And let me explain. See, I had an experience, or I thought I had an experience with the Holy Spirit that rubbed me the wrong way. See, I grew up in a Pentecostal church. How many of y'all ever been in a Pentecostal church before? Wave me down. Come on. You need to know something about a Pentecostal church right now. You need to know something right now. People in a Pentecostal church, you know what they do? They do this. They run around during worship. Praise God. Hallelujah. Where's the banners at? They get the banners up. They fling them around. They make a lot of noise. They clap. They stand up. And I had those encounters. And the reality is, here's what happened when I went to a Pentecostal church. And there's nothing wrong with a Pentecostal church. I'm Pentecostal. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, y'all. Y'all are like, oh, this dude's weird. I ain't coming back. I ain't coming back to Thrive. But here's the thing. There's a balance when it comes to the things of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So I went to this Pentecostal church where there was no balance. There was no boundaries. So I would be sitting in the pew, and hard to believe, I was sitting in the pew just listening to the preacher. And literally the lady in front of me starts shouting at the top of her lungs during his message. And I'm like, y'all, what is going on here? Does something just fall on her and she just starts speaking in tongues in front of everybody while the preacher is giving the message? There was other times where I would actually bring my friends to church who did not know Jesus. And we would be sitting in the pew behind this lady and she would be doing something like that. Or there would be other people that would run out of the pew during the pastor's message and run down to the altar. And my friends would get creeped out about it. They're like, Am I good? What is up with y'all church? I don't want to come back. And I honestly felt the same way. Because I'm like, man, if this is what the Holy Spirit does to people, then I don't want to have anything to do with him. See, I had a bad experience with the Holy Spirit. And maybe that's some of you guys tonight. You had a bad experience with the Holy Spirit where you're in an environment where there was no boundaries and people did whatever they wanted. But here's what I know about the Holy Spirit as I studied God's word. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit, there is order with him. So when a pastor is preaching, the pastor is preaching. That doesn't mean that the person stands up and starts waving their hands and speaking in tongues while the pastor is preaching. See, I had a bad experience with the Holy Spirit, so I was resisting him because I'm like, I don't want to be that girl. I don't want to be that guy that runs down to the altar. And maybe that's you tonight. You don't even maybe know who the Holy Spirit is. Or maybe you're resisting him because of a bad encounter. Because here's what the primary responsibility of the Holy Spirit is. It's this. It's found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, the Holy Spirit draws people to him. It says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you to be my witness. And it will give you power to be my witness. So the Holy Spirit is a drawer to God. And the Holy Spirit lives and breathes inside of us to go to humanity and tell people about how he has changed my life. Can I get an amen? Amen. So tonight I want to talk to you not about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but I want to talk to you about the person of the Holy Spirit. And then next week, we're going to get the snakes out and the tambourines out, and we're just going to go for it. I'm just kidding, y'all. I'm just kidding. But next week, we're going to be talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and having intimacy with him. But here's what I find true. A lot of us focus on the gift and not much on the gift giver. We focus on how can I develop my gift that God has given me and not develop the relationship with the gift giver. And it would be like this. I asked this really cute girl, she's beautiful. Her eyes, I get lost in them. She got short hair. She can sing. Y'all know she can dance too. You ever see her worship over there? She dances. I'm like, ooh, my sister? No, I'm talking about my wife, bro. I'm talking about my wife. So get this. What if I would have went up to my wife the first time that I took her out and I said, hey, what's in it for me? What can you provide for me? Like, can you cook? Could you clean? Could you give me an hour back rub every night? Can you clean the dishes? Can you mow the lawn? Like, what are you going to do for me? And if I would have started my relationship with my wife that way, how many of you know she probably would not be my wife today? Right? But how about if I said this? This is what I did with my wife when I first went out on a date with her. I got to know her. I asked questions. I wanted to know her personality, her characteristics, what she liked, what she didn't like. And we built a foundation so that we had things in common to talk about. And that's my point tonight. A lot of us are saying, Holy Spirit, what can you give to me? What gifts can I have to glorify myself? See, God's more interested in developing your character before he develops your calling. If you don't have the character, your character, you won't sustain your calling. Look at David. David was a 16-year-old boy, right? He was tending his sheep. And God tapped him on the shoulder and he said, hey, listen, I got something for you. I'm actually going to anoint you the king of Israel. So he was 16 years old. He got anointed king. And what does the Bible say he did? He went back to tending the sheep. For how many years? Over 20 years, because God was saying, I want to develop your character before I develop your calling. But a lot of us want our callings to be developed before our character is developed. A lot of us want to have the spotlight before God develops our character. Or I like to say this, we want the microphone before we hold the mop. Do you know, for a year and a half, I know you guys know because I talk about it all the time. I'm still a little bit bitter about it. For a year and a half, guess what I held? A mop. Going into the nasty girls' room and cleaning the toilets. Fellas, y'all miss the toilet a lot too. But I had a mop before I had a microphone. And God's saying, hey, listen, Holy Spirit, I want to develop my relationship with you before I develop my gifts that you have given me. But we're focusing so much on the gifts. Like, God, I wish I could be on that platform. I wish I could sing. I wish I can preach. I wish I can exhort. I wish I could be used by you. Yes, you can be used by you exactly where you're at. What you're ultimately doing right now and the passions and desires that he has placed in your heart, guess what? They grow. They grow. So what are you putting your hands to right now that God can bless, right? It talks about the sower of the seed. There's one guy that had one seed, one had two, one had four or five. I can't remember, five. And we see the story. What happened was that guy who had five was faithful with five, and God said, you know what? I'm going to give you 10 because I could trust you. Well done, good and faithful servant. Then we had the guy who had two. He had less talents than the guy who had five. But God says, I'm going to use your two, and you're faithful. I'm going to give you four. And then you had the one who said, you know what? I only have one talent. I'm scared. I'm fearful. I'm driven by fear. I'm going to plant this and not develop the calling that God has for my life. What are you working with tonight? Allow God to use your one. Allow God to use your stuttering problem to reach people. Allow God to use your musical gifts that maybe they're not the best sounds yet. Allow him to use that to reach people. Allow him to use the gifts that are inside of you exactly where you're at, saying, you know what, I'm focused on the gift giver. I'm going to continue to pursue him. I'm going to continue to develop my relationship with him and see what he does in and through you. Before we can have a spotlight, we have to make sure our character is developed and sustainable for where God's calling us to go. And that was free, y'all. That wasn't even part of my message. Come on. Let's give it. But we have an extraordinary best friend, y'all. And guess what his name is? His name is the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit your best friend? And tonight I want to talk to you with literally 5 minutes that I have left on page 2 of 8. We'll pick this up next week. Are you guys good? See, I believe that this place right here, this is a workout for all of us. Like, if we're not sweating, y'all, we're not doing things right. If we ain't sweating, we're not doing church right. I see some of my dudes on the platform. They're, like, covered in sweat. I'm like, yeah, that's a good workout right there. You don't got to go to gym to get a free cardio session up in here. I'm sweating, burning 250 calories a minute, y'all. But I want to talk to you guys about the presence of the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus, before he ascended into heaven and was crucified, he was talking to his disciples and he was saying, hey, listen, this temple is going to fall down, it's going to be destroyed, and it's going to be built in 3 days. And his disciples are like, yo, what are you talking about, Jesus? Like, we kind of don't understand you. We don't know what it means to eat your flesh and drink your blood. You're going to have to explain these kind of things to us. How can the temple be built in 3 days when it took 1,000 years to build it? So Jesus was talking to his disciples. He said, listen, I'm actually going away. And put yourself in the disciples' shoes right now. You've given your life, 3.5 years of your life, following this guy whose name was Jesus. And this guy named Jesus is saying, hey, y'all, I'm leaving. I'm actually going to be crucified on the cross. I'm going to raise to life 3 days later, and then I'm going to be with my Father. And if you put yourself in their shoes, you're probably like, well, what am I going to do now? Like, I followed this guy who said he was the Messiah for 3.5 years, and now he's just going to peace out on me? So these disciples were like confused. They're like, how in the world are we going to eat? How is our ministry going to be sustained? Like, he was our leader. And I think this is very interesting what Jesus told his disciples in this moment. He was basically saying this. I'm going to sum it up and then I'm going to read this verse. He was saying this, look to the cross for salvation. This is good. Write this down. Come on. Write this down. Y'all writing it down? I'm not going to talk anymore until everybody gets their pens. This is too good. You ain't writing it down, bro. Look to the cross for salvation. Look beyond the cross for the promised Holy Spirit. Many believers, y'all are laughing because you're like, that's cheesy. No, it's powerful. That stuff will change your life. That stuff will radically change your life. You'll go from being dead to being alive again. And he's saying, look to the cross for your salvation, because without the cross, there is no salvation. Y'all know that, right? There ain't no two ways to heaven. He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. Anybody comes through me shall have eternal life. He's saying, look to the cross for salvation, but look beyond the cross for the promised Holy Spirit. And that promised Holy Spirit will give you power to be my witness. And this is what it says in John 16:7. And I want you guys to meditate on that when you get home. It says this in John 16, chapter 7. But it is actually best for me, or for you, that I go away. He's talking to his disciples. It's better for me, Jesus, to go away, because if I don't, the counselor won't come. And if I do go away, he will come, because I will send him to you. You're kidding me. I followed you for 3.5 years and you're saying you're leaving me? I trusted in you. You fed me. You developed me as a leader, and now you're saying you're leaving, and it's better that you leave than to stay here on earth? And he's saying, yeah. I'm Jesus. I'm human. I can only be at one place at one time. But when I send my promised Holy Spirit to live in you and live through you, then you guys are little Christ followers. Y'all get that? Like the same Spirit that rose Christ from the grave lives in you. Like that gets me excited a little bit. Like the same Christ, the same Holy Spirit. This dude was dead, y'all. 3 days in the ground, dead. He shouldn't have been raised to life. It's impossible. It's against physiology, anatomy, whatever, y'all. He was dead in the ground. How about y'all die for 3 days and see if someone can raise you to life? So he was dead in the ground for 3 days. Like, this should be a revelation to us right now. Like, I get excited when I read this stuff because, man, I was dead. I was going to hell. I was broken. I was confused. I was a lost boy. Before Jesus came in, the Holy Spirit came in and gave me life again, who breathed into my lungs and said, I'm calling you. You have purpose. So Jesus was dead in the ground for 3 days. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came and raised him to life again. And that same Holy Spirit lives in you. And my question tonight is, what are you doing with the greatest gift that Jesus ever gave you? I know me, man. There's some times where I take for granted that the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. There's a lot of times where God's telling me to do something and I'm too fear-driven. God's telling me to talk to that person down the YMCA in the sauna. And he's tatted. And he's bulky, and he's big, and he's bald, and he looks like he just got out of jail. This past week, I had a guy come work at my house. He wasn't using the best language, let's just put it that way. And he wasn't talking about girls the right way. And I know that God put me in his life for a reason. And y'all know what I did? I was intimidated. So I didn't say anything at all, but I knew there was something inside of me saying, Zach, I'm using you to reach this guy. If he would just know how much the Heavenly Father loves me, man, he wouldn't be having to find happiness in sex. He wouldn't have to look for money to find his happiness. And I was too intimidated. And I took for granted what the Holy Spirit has done in my life, how I was that guy not that long ago. So Jesus was literally raised to life again. And what I want to talk to you guys about next week is I want to show you the power of the Holy Spirit to equip you to live a supernatural life in a very natural world. See, the Holy Spirit gives us gifts, the gifts of faith, the gift of healing, of prophecy, of wisdom, the gift of speaking in other tongues. The Bible says that in Galatians, he gives us the fruit of the Spirit. And whenever the world is crazy, you could still have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. But when we look around at Christians in this world today, what you will often see is believers in Jesus, but they actually don't look any different than the world. We have people who believe in Jesus, but look no different from the world. We're still bound in prison by the same sins as other people. You see people's prayer lives that literally flatline. You see people who are afraid, struggling, gripped by fear, full of anxiety. We believe in Jesus, yet we have no real power in our lives. Why is that? Because so many of us today is what I call living a spirit-less life. But when God wants his children to live a spirit-filled, spirit-led, spirit-empowered life. And I want to give you guys one reason, and then we'll pick it up next week. One reason why so many of us are living a spiritless life. And it's that some people resist the Holy Spirit. Some people resist the Holy Spirit. See, the Spirit prompts you and He leads you. The Holy Spirit empowers you. And when He's calling us to do something, it's almost like, no, I can't do that. When Christ, the Holy Spirit, is calling you to reach that friend in your neighborhood who you know is hurting, and you resist them, saying, God, not me. I can't be used by you. When the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something and bless somebody, and you're saying, I only got $10 in my bank account, and that has to last me 2 weeks. See, many of us live a spiritless life is because we resist the Holy Spirit. And in the New Testament, Stephen, he was a young man. He was courageous and bold. And he said this to the people in Acts. He said this in Acts chapter 7, verse 51. You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears. You are like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. And I found myself in that place 4 years ago. I found myself in that place 4 years ago. And let me explain how that happened. I chose the things of this world, okay? I believed the lie, and I chose the things of this world. And even in my brokenness, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. Zach, I wouldn't do that. Zach, I wouldn't go there. Zach, you need to reach out to this guy. And in my brokenness, I pushed him away. I resisted him. And this is the worst place to get when it comes to walking with God. When your heart's so hardened that you don't hear him anymore. When you try to read the Word of God and it's like reading a history book. And I got to that place in my life. And what I had to do is I had to fall on my knees. Very vulnerable state. I had to fall on my knees. And this is a word that we don't hear in Christianity all the time. But I had to repent. I had to say, God, for 2.5 years, I tried to do life on my own. You told me, you spoke to me early on, don't hang out with that friend group. But I was lonely and I wanted to fit in. So I went to that party. I didn't drink, but God, after a period of time, I continued to go to that party, and one beer turned to three, and three turned to six, and then six turned to 12, and then 12 turned to a case. And I would find myself so drunk and so hurting inside that I just needed to numb it with something else. So I did what the world told me to do. I filled it with another substance. God, I have turned so far from you that I no longer hear your voice. My heart is so hard, and my ears, I can't even hear. My eyes, they're so cultured. God, and I repent right now. And I turn towards you. I'm sorry for resisting you. I'm sorry for turning my back on you. Even when you pursued me and you chased me with your unconditional love, I chose to run the other way. God, I repent and I turn towards you. And it was in that moment where like the Holy Spirit, he came and he filled the room. And it was like this burden was lifted off my shoulder where I could finally walk straight again, where I could finally see the way Jesus sees humanity, where I can finally hear his voice again. And my heart was soft enough to when I read his work, he spoke to me. And if you're in that place tonight, know if God can do it for me, he can do it for you. And what I want is the band's going to come out. I think Nate and Daniel, they're going to come out and we're going to be singing Reckless Love. What a perfect song for this moment that we have with our Heavenly Father. So if you're in here tonight with every head bowed and eyes closed, if you're in here today, and prayer partners, can you guys come up? Yeah, prayer partners, come up front. If you're here today and you're saying, I've resisted the Holy Spirit for far too long. I've tried everything that this world was telling me would give me life and fulfillment, and I'm hitting this rock bottom. I'm no longer hearing the Holy Spirit speaking in my life. And maybe tonight you're saying, I don't even know who this Holy Spirit is, and I would love to get to know him in a more deeper, intimate way. If you're here today and you're saying, man, I need a fresh wind. I need a fresh touch. I'm so numb right now that I need God to move on my behalf. I need the Holy Spirit to come and spark a fire within me again. Who cares what your neighbor's doing? Be bold and come to the front and say, you know what? I need this. Come on, come on. Let's go. Let's go. If you need a touch from God again, come up front. Come on. Who's going to be the leader? Who's going to be the first one up here to say, you know what? My life, I need some things to be touched. I know one of you guys want to be the leaders to come up front right now to say, you know what? I need a touch from Jesus. I need the Holy Spirit to come and to refresh me again. Thank you for leading that. Is there anybody else? And as we go back into this song, you're saying, you know what? I just need prayer. Come up front, guys. This is what this is about. This is the culture and the atmosphere that we want to create and thrive, where you are going through something and we meet you and we fight life through together with you. So let's stand on our feet. And if that's you, you need to come down to say, I need a fresh touch from Jesus. I need a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit. I need him in my life. I need to be refreshed. I need to be recharged. Come down front. Leaders, if you are a leader here in Thrive, man, come get prayer for anything. Let's go ahead and let's get into this song tonight. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. When I think about Jesus, I think about this one thing, how he saved my soul. See, Jesus died on a cross for me and for you. The Bible says that he shed blood, and the meaning behind blood, it literally is, it's the meeting place between us and God. So Jesus was our intercessor. He came. He was the bridge that says, you know what? I'm allowing you to walk over me to have a relationship with my Heavenly Father. So he had to bleed so that we can have a relationship with him. When I hear the name of Jesus, it brings me to almost this vulnerable state because I think about where I was before I had Jesus in my life. And some of you guys tonight, you're at that place where you never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Just like we sang this song, there's no mountain he won't climb up. There's no rock, whatever, he won't turn over. I'm not good with lyrics, all right? But the premise of this is he will do anything to reach you. It's that reckless love where he will do anything. It won't even make sense because he loves you that much. So when I found out that it was the goodness of God that brought me back to repentance, that's why I get so pumped up about the name of Jesus. It was his goodness running after me when I had my back turned on him. And if you're here tonight with every eye closed and head bowed, if you have never said, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life, I want you to simply raise your hand right now. Say, Jesus, raise your hand and say, Jesus, I want to make you the Lord of my life. If you never made Jesus the Lord of your life, every head bowed and eyes closed, just raise your hand right now. Awesome, I see that hand. Is there anybody else that never said, Jesus, you are the Lord? And I see that hand. You are the captain of my life. And hands are going up. You can go ahead and put your hands down. And what I want to do is I want to pray for you guys. And I want everybody to repeat this prayer after me. And if you did raise your hand, we have prayer partners down front. If you're going through anything, they're going to be down here after service and just get prayed for. But I want everybody to repeat this simple prayer after me. Say, Dear Father God, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that I fall short. And I know that I need your grace to meet me in this place, to transform me, and to make me new. So now I declare you the Lord of my life. My life will never be the same because I am a new creation and I'm covered by your blood. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Everybody says amen. Let's go ahead and clap it up.